Welcome to episode 1188 of the 1010 Thrive podcast, brought to you by 1010 Thrive Ministries. 1010 Thrive, 10 minutes a day, based on 10 guidelines for abundant living. We continue our series exploring conversations Jesus had 2,000 years ago as a part of our series, 1010 with Jesus, A Deeper Look. And we are focused, this week, on post-resurrection conversations. The scene opens in a quiet upper room in Jerusalem. Oil lamps flicker. Night presses in around shuttered windows. The disciples are all gathered together again. And not just the remaining 11, but others, including some of the women. Most are talking softly, still adjusting to the shock and wonder of the past days. But one man, Thomas called Didymus, sits slightly apart, arms crossed, eyes skeptical, heart torn.
Thomas, I'm telling you, we saw him. It was the first day of the week. The doors were locked. We were hiding, fearing the Jews. And then, suddenly, he was there, in the room. No door opened, no knock. He just stood among us.
And he said, "Peace be with you." Not judgment, not anger, just peace.
You were terrified. We were all terrified. You sure it wasn't just wishful thinking?
Thomas, I saw him too. I went to the tomb early that morning. The stone was rolled away. The body was gone. I thought someone had taken him. I was crying when I heard a voice. He said my name, Mary. I turned, and he was right there. Not a spirit, not a vision. Jesus, alive.
I don't doubt that you believe it. But people want to believe strange things in grief. I've seen it.
We walked with him on the road to Emmaus. We didn't know it was him at first. Our eyes were kept from recognizing, but as he spoke, our hearts burned. He opened the scriptures like no one else could. Then at the table, he broke the bread, and suddenly we saw it was Jesus.
How could you walk 7 miles with the Lord and not know it was him?
Why would we make this up?
A shared dream, perhaps. A clever imposter. I don't know, but unless I see the nail marks in his hands, and put my finger where the nails were and my hand into his side, I will not believe.
The room grows still. His words fall like stones. The others look at him with sorrow, but no judgment. They remember their own fear, their own doubt.
It's been 8 days. Why would he have appeared to so many of you on one day and then not be heard from again?
Suddenly, Jesus appears in the room, radiant and calm.
Peace be with you.
The disciples gasp, but only briefly. Their hearts leap. He's here, again, just as before. But now he turns and fixes his gaze on one man.
Thomas, come.
Jesus lifts his hands.
Put your finger here, see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe.
No rebuke, no anger, only invitation. His wounds are not hidden, they are offered. The cost of grace displayed, not for proof, but for love. Thomas falls to his knees, overwhelmed.
My Lord and my God.
Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed.
He wants to be sure that the crucified Lord is also the risen one, that the one who suffered still bears the marks of that suffering. 1 week later, Jesus appears again. The setting is familiar: locked doors, gathered disciples, hushed tension. But this time, Thomas is present. Jesus doesn't scold him. He doesn't shame him. He doesn't say, "Really, Thomas? After everything?" Instead, Jesus speaks peace. "Peace be with you." Then he turns directly to Thomas. His words echo the very terms of Thomas's demand. "Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side." It is a breathtaking moment of compassion. Jesus meets Thomas at the point of his need. He invites investigation. He offers his wounds. He honors the wrestling. Far from being repelled by doubt, Jesus responds to it with revelation. And in doing so, he affirms something vital for all of us. Honest doubt is not the enemy of faith. Pretending is. Denial is. But honest doubt, painful, searching, desperate doubt, can become a doorway to deeper intimacy when brought to Jesus. Jesus doesn't ask Thomas to believe blindly. He offers his body as proof. He welcomes the touch of a wounded seeker. The resurrected Christ is not sanitized. His glorified body still bears the scars. He is risen, but the wounds remain, not as reminders of defeat, but as emblems of victorious love. Thomas never ends up touching Jesus. That's one of the striking details of this encounter. Jesus invites him to touch, but the invitation alone is enough. The skeptic becomes a worshiper. "My Lord and my God," Thomas exclaims. It is the highest confession of faith recorded in the Gospels. No other disciple speaks of Jesus so directly as God. Not Peter, when he declares him the Messiah. Not Mary in the garden. Not the Emmaus disciples. It is Thomas, the doubter, who sees most clearly and declares most boldly. Jesus doesn't correct him, he receives the worship. Then he offers a beatitude, not a rebuke, but a blessing that extends beyond Thomas to future generations. "Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." This is a word for us. For every believer who follows without the benefit of physical sight, for those who trust the witness of Scripture, the testimony of the Spirit, and the echo of Christ's voice in the community of faith. Let's get deep. What this teaches us about Jesus. This encounter reveals Jesus as tender, patient, and willing to meet us in our questions. He does not demand perfect faith. He does not require instant understanding. He honors the sincerity of Thomas's doubt because he values the authenticity of his heart. Jesus knows trauma can cloud vision. He understands crucifixion wounds aren't only his, they also mark the hearts of those who loved him. The risen Jesus doesn't erase the past, he redeems it. The scars remain, but they are now signs of glory, not defeat. We also learn Jesus doesn't just want acknowledgement, he desires allegiance. "My Lord and my God" is a declaration of surrender. It is the language of devotion, not merely conviction. Jesus leads Thomas not just from doubt to belief, but from curiosity to worship. For anyone wrestling with faith, anyone whose grief clouds their vision, whose sorrow makes belief feel risky, Thomas stands as a companion and Jesus stands as a savior who comes through locked doors, who offers peace, who invites you to come close. Perhaps you find yourself in Thomas's shoes. You've heard the testimonies. Others rejoice. Others sing. But you feel unsure, numb. You wonder if Jesus truly is risen, truly present, truly good. Don't hide that struggle. Bring it into the light. Jesus does not fear your questions. He meets us in them. Ask yourself, what wounds am I carrying that keep me from seeing Jesus clearly? Am I waiting for a kind of proof that I've never asked him to provide? What would it mean for me to bring my full self-doubts and all to Jesus? Jesus' peace can enter even the most locked rooms. His presence can heal even the most wounded hearts. And when he calls us out of doubt, it is not into shame, but into deeper trust. Father, thank you for the honesty of Thomas and the compassion of Jesus. Thank you that you don't demand flawless faith, but welcome our questions and struggles. Thank you that Jesus bears his scars, not to guilt us, but to show us that love is stronger than death. That's our episode. Remember, God calls you not only to live, but to thrive. Live life to the full. Today.